Hello and welcome to Techlandia. Techlandia is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcast by educators. For more great content, please visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Hello and welcome to Techlandia. How are you doing today, this fine August evening? Scott, it was really hot today, and then all of a sudden we went out on our Pokemon Go hunt, and there was a chill in the air in Portland. The cold air is sweeping in because it's August.
I say bring it, John.
Bring it. Here it is. And I feel like the cold air was coming in because they knew that the start of the NFL preseason was coming soon, and those horrible, terrible Green Bay Packers were playing, and of course Aaron Rodgers, who we now learn from The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, or is it, well, I forget which one. I don't watch them, so I don't know. But the one with Aaron Rodgers' brother, we find out that Aaron Rodgers' family really doesn't like him at all. Did you hear that stuff?
No.
So Aaron Rodgers' brother, I don't know if he won The Bachelorette or The Bachelor, whatever it's called, but I did get updates saying from a lot of people in Chicago saying, dude, Aaron Rodgers' brother is on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, and he talks open smack about Aaron Rodgers and how his family doesn't like him at all, like they're estranged.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know The Bachelorette has been a hot topic in our staff lounge, Sean, because I'm in week four of school coming up next week. I'm almost on vacation again. Let me tell you. Oh, my gosh.
That's so horrible. Well, I know that.
Who are you, anyways?
You know. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm John Samuelson. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and if you're watching the feed, you can see my Portland Timbers shirt. Did you know that they were the MLS champions of last year?
Portland Timbers. You know,
they beat the LA Galaxy.
Our local team has to let somebody else win every once in a while.
That's right. Well, once Beckham left, you knew that was in trouble. You knew guys were in trouble. I'm in Portland, and would you like to introduce yourself, neighbor to the south?
I'm John Samuelson Jr.
And I like to play Pokemon Go all the time.
I just moved here to Alaska from Chicago.
Boy, you're like a mix. You're like a mashup of all my personalities.
That's my goal, John. That's right. Always my goal.
Wow. That's a lofty goal. I don't know. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers, that was my top. I just like to get that in for Brian Briggs. By the way, Brian Briggs and yourself, two people to follow on the list of 100 Twitter educators to follow that I saw today, shared on the Facebook by my coworker, Nicole Carter.
Hashtag so blessed, John.
Yeah,
hashtag. And you know, I really think kids deserve this, so.
do adults on Twitter deserve you guys? That's the question.
No, definitely not.
So I looked at the list. Okay, so then here's my problem. Okay, so you look
I will say this. Okay, let me say this before you get into, like, the list thing. That was really nice of that guy to put me on there, but honestly, I would have put 100,000 other people before I put my name anywhere on a Twitter list, for sure.
Okay, well, that's crazy. That's just crazy talk. But I did look on it to see, like, you know, where is that? Did he? Do we know who this guy is that did this list?
Oh, I can look it up right now. I just saw another person tweeting it out.
Right.
Tracy from, let's see, where's Tracy from? She is, I don't know where Tracy's from.
Okay.
She's an ed tech administrator, though. No, it's on LinkedIn, though. It's a LinkedIn deal.
Yeah, LinkedIn. Oliver Shington is the we know from
Keith
LinkedIn.
O'Neill is the guy's name. And looks like a nice guy.
Does he?
Uh-huh. He does.
Okay, that's good. So now let's go ahead and reward him for his niceness and say, what's the point of these lists? I mean, these lists, come on now. And you know what? So I looked first to see, like, the legitimacy of these lists. Because I like to think that I know something, Scott. I like to think I know something about ed tech. And I don't know. Like, all right, so let's just look. Edutopia is on the list. Edutopia is not a person. I don't know if we should. I don't know if we should count that as a California person to follow on Twitter, right? I mean, and there. I think there was a couple other things too. If you're going to make a list about people, let's make it about people. Let's not make it about like publications or companies or whatever. I mean, what are we going to do? You know, Microsoft. If people don't know to file like Microsoft or Edutopia, I mean, come on, those are two of your go-tos right there. You can leave those off a little list.
Right.
Did you look at it and see if there were any people that you hadn't followed? I was going to do that, and I
there's definitely people I hadn't followed, but there's amazing people like Janine Letford who I would have on.
Right. We saw. I saw that. So that makes it more legit.
Is Steve Hargadon? Is he in California? I thought he was like back east.
Yeah, I think he is too. And then my thing is Kristen Swanson doesn't live in California anymore, right? She moved.
I don't know.
And then you have people like that are popular in the California Ed Chat scene, like my man David Terrio and my man
he would be
Carl Lincolnstriker, right?
Tied with Carl and tied with Joanne Fox.
Joanne Fox, right? And then so you kind of look at this and you're like, okay, so I don't know if you're going to make a list like this and you're going to be like, okay, do we have to like shoot for a round number? It's such an American thing to do. Like I'm going to shoot for this nice round number of 100, but then I'm struggling to get things on there. Why couldn't you just, I feel like a better way to do a list like that would be like, you know what? I'm going to think of California right now. I went to the National Q conference. Let me think of like the people that I connected with. Let me just brainstorm and write them all down real quick. And there's my list. And if there's 17 of them, there's 17 of them. And here are 17 people that I really know actually live in California and that I've connected with and I know personally. Because I bet you, you don't know the guy personally, right? But he did put you on the list.
I don't. Right. I you know, and I may have met him or something like that. And I'm not trying to like be like, but he's got Amy Fajaji.
He does have Amy, right? No, there's some. That's the thing, though. I think there's
Sean Zeebarth.
He does have Sean Zeebarth, and right, he has
Moss Pike.
Did he have Moss Pike on there? Okay, that's good.
Travis Phelps.
Did he have? You know, one of the things I saw. Does he have? Does he have John Stevens?
He doesn't have
John Stevens. So then I start to think about that. Then and then what? What's when I think of John Stevens, I think of. Is it Matt Vaudrey?
Matt Vaudrey, of course. Is
Matt Vaudrey not on there?
Matt Vaudrey's not on there.
Is Lisa Heifel on there?
No.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Here's the problem with the list. See, you can either you could be like, I saw Brian Briggs on Facebook, and he's like, holy cow, I'm on this list. And so that's great. And I Brian is awesome, and Brian pretty much would be on every list that I have, like if you of go to people for so many different things, he's so versatile and does so many things for like the Q Rockstar events. He knows drones. He knows Raspberry Pi. I mean, the guy, he's way underrated. He could write a book very easily if he just sat down and decided he wanted to write a book, but he's too busy working and trying to do stuff, you know?
That's right.
And so that's the problem with these lists then. So then you look at it and I'll just look for, like, if you're like me, I'll just look for the gaps. But I guess I saw that you were on there, but is Tim on there? Tim Bedley's not on there, Tim, right?
Dude, I'd put Tim on far before me. And another guy I'd put on a million times before me is Ruben.
Ruben Hoffman. Right. Is Dan McDowell?
Ruben Hoffman's amazing. No, Dan.
Okay. I mean, so that's the problem with lists. So I feel like if you just put a list
Eric
out.
Sable should be on. Right. Like, I could go.
I know. There's so many people, right? And that's the thing. That number one, I think that says a lot about California educators and why California Ed Chat has sustained for so long. It's a really good chat where there's a lot of dedicated people that have many different areas of expertise. So I feel like right? Don't you think that?
Totally. But then you ask, like it says 100 California educators, then you have to define, okay, what qualifies you as an educator?
Right.
Do you do trainings for educators, which makes you an educator? Because there are people on the list that are purely trainers of educators.
Right. So I don't know. It is interesting. Right. Edutopia, I wouldn't call Edutopia an educator. right? That's when you're sitting there at like number 96. You're like, okay, I just need four more to put on this list, you know? And I don't know. I feel like it's more wholesome if you just go, hey, you know what? I went to annual Q, and here are the people that I hung out with, and I think they're really trying to do something positive for education. This is a list. People I met at the Q conference, but that doesn't get as viral as 100 educators in, and it looked like it was for some challenge or something, right? I don't know, whatever. And I mean, I don't know. I challenged me to name 100 people just on Twitter, and I don't think I could.
Yes, you could.
I probably
could. You just named like 50.
I probably could, but that's the thing. I'm kind of psychotic like that too, and I need to get a life.
I don't think you could name as many Twitter Twitter names as you could Pokemon Go names.
I always mix up the Pokemon Go names. It's so funny. I'm like, what is this one?
I really would like to, do a show where we associate somebody on Twitter with a Pokemon. And so we're like, John, you kind of are like,
well, I'm definitely Snorlax.
I thought I was going to say Magmar. But, and, I'm kind of like Diglett.
Oh, okay. Well, we do that. We do that in the Samuelson household. So Gwen, my oldest daughter, is known as a Rattata, right? So she's like anytime, because she's all around and she's annoying like that. So I go, Gwen, you're like a Rattata. Well, so then she goes right around and says, oh, well, you know what? You're a Magikarp. You're just like a floppy dead fish to me. And I said, but if you get 400 Magikarp candies, then I become something really tremendous, powerful. Right? Exactly. Yeah. And I forget what it is called, but I know that Michael really wants that one. what is the Magikarp evolve to? It's like the supreme being of Pokemon. I don't even know.
I would, you got to definitely put out that there's someone that's a Ghastly in your house.
That's probably Michael. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, so I think that's a good one. Did you,
John? That was a really good show. I listened to that show. I mean, I listened to all the Techlandias, but that show with you and David talking Pokemon Go was like really educational to me.
The thing is,
fantastic.
The thing is, we actually like. I don't know. I'm pretty bad with the characters' names, but the thing is, we do play. Are you? I don't know. I feel like I am here. Pikachu. Who's that? Wait, who's that? Pikachu. Oh, look! I have the Pikachu. That's the Pokemon heel sound effect from iButtons. But
thank
I don't
you,
know.
iButtons.
Yeah, thank you, iButtons. I just like the Pikachu. So
how many people have just like turned off this podcast at this point?
But no, I still feel like okay, so I can kind of continue the Pokemon Go. So I'm a level 23 on Pokemon Go, which is
no way.
I am. So because I feel like now it's going to be a problem. And I was like, before when I was doing the podcast with David, I was like, oh, it's great for my autistic son. It's great. I've seen some people write some stuff about it. If we ever blogged, Scott, I would write some great.
We're blogging right now.
Right. I do this.
We're vlogging.
We're vlogging. So,
plogging.
So, yeah, I'm plogging along. But I think it's getting to a point now where it's becoming kind of an obsession a little bit. And I think it might be a problem. Like, so like I'm sitting here at, 10 o'clock at night, and Michael's like, we didn't go Pokemon hunting today. We're going to go Pokemon hunting today. And so now it's almost to the point where it was hard to get Michael out of the house sometimes before, because kids have their little patterns, right? The autistic kids. That's the thing. Now he really likes this. So it's borderline obsession now. And it's constantly like, can I have your phone? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can we evolve this? Can we evolve that? And so now it's almost like,
No, don't evolve it. I've got to play a lucky egg.
Right.
So we can double our experience.
That's exactly what I tell them too. I said, no.
Stop it.
So we actually have evolving parties at like where we just sit there for a half hour and just evolve constantly so we can level up. Even if it's a stupid Rattata, we'll level it up just so we get our 1,000 XP. But that's the thing. So now it's like they were going to go to the park today and he wouldn't go without me and my phone to play Pokemon Go. And so I'm like, okay, now this is becoming a problem, where before I saw it as a positive, now I'm starting to be like, okay, what happens when school starts now? Is right. he going to be able to actually separate focus. Himself for 7-8 hours and focus? And then when he comes home, is he just going to be all over me to grab my phone? Because if it is, that's now a problem. Like our nice little summer walks and strolls and fun talking. But at the same time, today he was walking and he goes to these kids and he never says anything. He goes, "Hey, what's up, guys?" I was like, wait, where is this kid coming from? You know? And so he's talking to kids. The other day he was in 31, we were in Baskin Robbins. There's my shameless plug. We're in Baskin Robbins and he goes,
"You mean the place that sells ice cream and other delicious treats?"
I was going to get some bubblegum ice cream. I ended up walking out because this guy was ordering a banana split and being all, oh man, he was just giving him so, this poor girl, the only girl working, so many directions. It took him like 10 minutes to make his banana split. And he's like being like, "Oh, well, there's people behind you." And I was like, "You know what, dude, I'll just go get a coffee drink because I didn't want bubblegum ice cream that bad." But while we're sitting in there, Michael's playing Pokemon Go and he goes, you know, there's these two younger girls there. And he goes, hey, ladies, how's it going? Or I think he might have said girls. He might have said girls. He said, "Hey, girls, how's it going?" Like that, just being nice. I'm like, wow, okay, who is this kid? So it is, you know, helping him get out there and talk to people a little bit, which stuff he doesn't really do. So it's interesting.
I mean, that's cool.
It's cool.
I know. You know, my son just grabs the phone out of my hand.
Yes, that's a problem
all the time. And then I think like, well, I probably shouldn't have the phone in my hand.
Right. I'll have to see how many I've done. I have to see how many steps I've done this week. But yeah, the steps are kind of insane. Yeah, I get over 10,000 steps just with my phone a day, which, you know, means I'm carrying the phone. So I mean, at least it's getting my lard tush out there. Yeah. So, and walking, which is healthy. Now I would just need to drink water and actually have a diet. Maybe I've got something here.
So, John, a little Techlandia swerve ball.
Okay.
Back to the list thing.
Okay.
So is this something that, you know, is people like? I mean, they seem to come out quite frequently. So, I mean, clearly people like to see these, right?
Yeah. I think okay, so it's kind of funny because right when we ended for the Future Bus, so I just quit working yesterday basically, and I wasn't working a ton, but I was working enough to not get a solid week off, and it was really kind of starting to annoy me because I could never get in a flow, and I moved into my new house. I just re-upped my premium subscription to Listly yesterday. Because I started to think about schools. So I actually started to think, okay, let's just think about the school year now. And the easiest way to help out teachers is to make lists. And they've done, Listly has now done it where you can only make one list a week and you only put up 10 items 24 hours. And so I kind of waited until I had some time and I'm like, okay, I'll just go premium for $10 for a couple of months, make my list for the year, and then I'll cancel it out again or whatever. But yeah, people really like the list. I think on some of my lists, all right, so I won't even look. So I won't look back on there now.
I mean, think about ESPN. They're all about lists and then debating those lists,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They have entire shows around debating lists of like who's the top in this and that, you know, Michael Jordan is clearly not the best player of all time in NBA. That is
that has never been one of their bits on any of their shows. But yeah, right. They have like the big smart board where they drag the stuff over, yeah. Right? And they even have like the players come into it. And I think about like, gosh, back in the like late 80s and early 90s when you'd buy like the David Letterman top 10 list book. I mean, those were funny and you just sit there and read them on trips and things. I think that
it was always number two that was the funniest.
That's right. But yeah, and you know what movie? I just watched a movie last night, which we should do this right now. So Marnie and I were goofing around on YouTube real quick, looking for we were watching Kevin Hart and doing the lip sync battles and whatever, and then Snoop Dogg did "Don't Stop Believin'." Have you seen Snoop Dogg? Dude,
no.
Oh my god, it's incredible on the lip sync battle. So it was pretty funny, but so we started talking about how we liked Kevin Hart and Chris Rock. And so then I just Googled Kevin Hart and Chris Rock. There's this movie called Top Five. Have you heard of Top Five?
No.
So anyway, just from 2 years ago. So
I don't even know Channing Hill.
Yeah, you don't even know Channing Tatum. So
Tatum Jonas or something.
That's right. And Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. So top five is a Chris Rock movie, and Rosario Dawson's pretty much in it. But so I think it just comes from it's got a bunch of the comedians from Saturday Night Live on there. And it's really, I thought it was a pretty good movie. But so the whole time they're debating their top five rappers of all time. So they'd give the top five, and then it'd be like Tracy Morgan, and they would give, they'd list
some. I mean, we did a top, did we do top 200?
Yeah,
show itself.
Yeah, like, we used to do
back in the day, like, John, we've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah. So I do think people like the lists, and I think they work.
Let's do a list right now, John.
Okay, let's do one.
Let's do a list.
Okay.
Everybody out there, do you want to hear a list?
Okay. Here we go.
I think I heard him say yes, John.
Okay, wait, let's see. No, I just heard pins dropping.
Let's do a list that's the top 10 worst social media days.
Oh.
Of all time. The days you just need to turn your phone off and not hop onto Facebook.
That's every day for
Twitter
me.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Snapchat, because it's so... Oh, well, Instagram now has their own Snapchat feature and all that stuff. Your story, right? So,
So Bill Selleck's in trouble now because... You know,
he's preparing his presentation for ISTE next year on your story on Instagram.
On Instagram? Okay, so the funny thing is... He said,
and I love Bill Simon.
I do too, but I do follow him on Snapchat. The funny thing is, when he was doing his, he loves those special effects on Snapchat, right? So he's like, but on Instagram, I can't do this. And like he turned himself into an alien and then rolled out his tongue. And I thought, that's exactly why I would go to Instagram over Snapchat. I hate those stupid effects. They're so stupid. So, but he loves those dumb effects. So, but yeah,
someone who loves effects, John.
Okay,
I love those sound effects.
Uh-oh, I don't even have them booted up yet. So here we'll get. All right, so we'll get them going. So
don't make me say that Canadian guys.
Okay, here we go. So list, and these are the top 10 worst social media days of the year. Top 10 worst social media days. Okay. Here we go. I will also
number 10.
Number 10. Well, I know what number one is because I crabbed about it on the last show. Okay, let's see. I'm going to error. Wait, can I do number 10 as one of the days? It's like one of my least favorite, but then I also just kind of want to see who wishes me a happy birthday, like your birthday.
Your birthday.
Your birthday is number 10 for me. And it's kind of a love-hate thing because, like, I want to see if people recognize my birthday on Facebook. But then again, I hate it because I hate everybody else's.
Wait, you like... Okay, so here's the weird thing is, like, why I would put that on my list. Top 10 worst. Because nobody really remembers your birthday.
Right.
It's the Facebook reminds them.
That's right. That's right.
So it's not like they really are like thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just were reminded to post something that brings them attention.
That's right. Well, I kind of look at that sometimes. I go, oh, I like that person. Here, have a great birthday. I didn't know they were a Leo. <You know? laughs> Or then I'm like, oh my God. Or like the other day I was like, oh my God, look at all those people I know born on the same day. And then I'm like,
you know what I appreciate when somebody actually, because I have a fake social media birthday, but to trick people up. And David Terrio, thank you. You wished me fake happy birthday last year. But what I appreciate is the people, if they were to able actually know my birthday and wish me happy birthday the day before,
mm-hmm.
then I know that Facebook didn't remind them. To wish me happy birthday, John.
But they can look at upcoming birthdays
on social media. That's a win.
Okay. They can look at the upcoming birthdays or the birthdays they've missed too.
Right. That means they made a little bit of an effort. Didn't
okay.
They?
Okay. That's good. Okay. So I'm going to say birthdays are number 10. What you going for number 9?
John, I think number 9 of social media days. Oh gosh. I'm so not a social media guy.
I know. I'm just, when I think of this, I'm just thinking of Facebook. And I hope that everybody knows how much I dislike Facebook.
I'm going to go with wedding anniversaries.
Yes.
That's number nine.
Yes. I just have to say, like, they're like, and it's funny because I saw somebody from Alaska that, and they've been married for 20 years. And I know that she won't, and I know that it's impressive. And I know she won't listen to the show, and I like her. And I thought, wow, they actually made it. That's what I thought just now. I'm like, I was sure they weren't going to make it at some
point. Is that a new emoji that you could put? Wow, they actually made it.
Wow, they've made it. They're not
just, wow.
They're not divorced yet. Okay, that's good. Good for you guys.
Oh,
that's so bad. If she ever did listen to this, they would totally know.
Yeah, I do. I do get a little irritated when people are like, you know, wishing my wife the bestest wedding anniversary. It was 22 years ago this very day that I married my best. You know, and that's
I married my best friend.
That's all super sweet, but say it to your wife. Don't post it on social media.
That's right.
Like, I just don't. That is a disconnect for me right there. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you need to share that intimate moment with everybody to make you look like a better husband or wife?
Right.
And that's really what I see it as. It's right. Like, hey, look at me. I'm a better. And I think there's a difference between look at me and celebrate me on social media. So we'll talk about that later. John, go ahead. What's number eight?
I think that's what that one said. That says to me, everything is awesome. Yeah. And they talk about they're great. You know, I'm wishing a happy anniversary to my best friend. And then like a year and a half later, they're getting a divorce.
Oh God. You know? I hope not.
It's so fake. All right. So here's one. And this will be school related for you. How about the first day of school picture, the obligatory first day of school pictures? Don't like that at all. I'm like, come on. I hate the first day of school pictures.
You know, John, I have a wonderful, amazing new teacher teammate this year.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sharing, and I probably shouldn't even share this. This is horrible for me to share. I'm sorry, new teammate. I won't name her. But she said her mom made her do like first day of school pictures until she was like through high school.
It was just like, why?
Oh, I don't know. Why do we do that as parents?
Well, you know what?
Crazy things as parents. I'm telling you, John. Well, I do them too.
I know. And sometimes it is interesting to see like the first day of school and the last day of school in the same year. I've seen that one this year. And I thought those were interesting because you can really see the physical changes in the youngsters, and then maybe you appreciate more the time that you have or the limited. What seems like to me like insanity right now is I have every kid in my house 12 and under, but then in like 5 years, I'm going to be like, oh my God, I'm losing one. You know, you'd be like Allison Anderson, like the young Ted Rosisi, who's losing her child. And then she has another one. It's going to be a senior, and she's going to be like an empty nester here pretty soon.
Wow!
What is she going to do? And she's young.
Travel to Marquette a lot.
That's right. Yeah, she's going to travel to DePaul. That's where he's going to go. He's going to go to DePaul. So okay. Anyway, all right. So I say first day of school is my number eight, and we better go through this list quick, or else maybe we should make this a top five.
Oh, maybe we should.
Okay, because yeah, we haven't talked about anything.
We're to number two then.
Yeah. All right, so let's go. What are your least favorite social media? Like, I could name every day, but all right. So first day of school, birthdays for me.
Anniversaries
for you. So we're doing a lot of personal ones, but like, let's do like a holiday. I don't mind July 4th.
I don't mind July 4th.
I don't really mind Christmas that much either.
I don't mind Christmas either. But, you know, New Year's can be a little shady.
Yes, it can. Yeah, New Year's. That's definite.
But I'm going to definitely go with President's Day, John. Just kidding.
You're going off. You hate it when people reminisce about Lincoln.
Yes, I hate that. That's desperately hate that.
I still say that my one is my one is Father's Day. And I don't think I mind Mother's Day as much, but Father's Day, I'm just like, come on, man. We don't need to celebrate you. You did. You're doing your job. You know. Sometimes yeah. I don't like. Sometimes that really gets to me when it's like I'm going to overpost about like I'm going on a daddy date with my kid or whatever, right? Or like, you know, we're going here or whatever. and like the overposting of that. And that makes me think that you've really ignored your kid for months now, and you're right. Finally trying to do something. And here I'm going to overcompensate by taking a ton of pictures and showing how much fun we have. But you do that, but you actually do it. Like you're actually out there every day. Like you take Dean to more places than my kids like would look at your Facebook feed and go, geez, slackers, why aren't you taking us somewhere? Because you go to like, you do, you but go to,
I,
but you
I don't
you,
post any of it,
but you right no you don't know not it's on Facebook
on Instagram only, right. Like only with my close friends and family,
yeah,
for that.
No, but I mean,
so my family can see it,
right? But it's like you don't do it to get credit for it. You actually like go miniature golfing, you go to the go-kart place, you're going to Legoland, you take them to SeaWorld. Like those are all things that I know you've done in like the last month with them. Correct.
It's usually green screen, John. I'm not doing that right now. I'm really sorry, everybody.
You're getting ready for his birthday tomorrow.
Dean, like, just, you know, basically in the house, he gets to go outside and play a little bit, you know, because, well, global school play day, I'd be a complete hypocrite. But
right.
Hey, John, what about weddings? Does that not make your top five list?
No, you know, I think I agree with what we had said privately before. I think the weddings are okay. I don't mind wedding. I saw one today. I saw one on Facebook today that was kind of funny. Okay, nobody. I'm going to get so busted if people actually listen to this podcast. Thank goodness nobody does. Okay, so I saw one today. Okay, so this is a true story about my old school district. And if I had a bad sound effect here, let's see. Wait, let me do a bad sound effect. This school district is highly regarded as one of the best school districts. And it's all smoke and mirrors, okay?
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly, until you peek behind the curtain. So when Marnie and I worked in that same school district, I had to work so hard.
Is this
hard
school district riding with tames?
Rides with teens. So when we're sitting there, like they wouldn't let me work with Marnie at the same school because we were married. Even though at the junior high, the middle school and the high school, there were teachers that were married that worked there. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever.
I get that if it's like an administrator that has to actually evaluate an employee, but I don't get like, that doesn't make sense if it's two employees and like.
Right. So I worked there forever. So finally they let me go over there for the 1 year that we ended up working together. It was all 5 years to work that whole one blissful year together. And I flat out just said, I'll ignore her. I see her enough. You know, I don't even need to talk to her. I really don't. In fact, I probably went out of my way to just not like ignore her and not even like see her.
I know a married couple that actually shared a contract, John.
Oh, really?
A couple of days of the week, the husband was in teaching. A couple of days of the week, the wife was in teaching. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I could see that. I don't know. Well, so anyway, so on Facebook, it was funny because I saw, so in that same school, it turns out like, I didn't know the male teacher. He didn't teach. I didn't teach with him, but I didn't teach with either one of these people. But so they were like married. One of the girl was really nice. And I used to like help her try and use technology stuff. And then slowly but surely, they started to separate from their, you know, significant others. They got divorced and then they got married. Right. So then, right. So they both divorced and then they got married.
Oh,
and then I was like, I was seeing, like, I saw their picture today and I was like, oh, look at them. They're so, you know, they're so cute or whatever. And they've had a baby since. And I just thought, I was like, wow. I'm like, and they wouldn't let Marnie and I work together, but these two came in married to other people. You know, and I'm like, see, that's why you can't. I think that goes with school, though. I mean, you can't plan for everything. When we were doing the future bus for this time, Nicole would sit there. She really did a good job planning stuff, but you can't like overthink stuff sometimes. I think that this might be a good way to segue into something educational. But at the beginning of the year, you can't really plan everything out. You kind of have to be able to roll with the punches a little bit and go with the flow, don't you think? If you over plan stuff or try and compensate for everything that possibly could go wrong and make these arbitrary rules, I think you're just setting yourself up for trouble at the beginning of the year, and you want to start off the year strong.
John, right? I've known people that have the entire year of copies run prior to the start of the school year. And it just kind of blows my mind a little bit.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's like trying to, you can't make these sweeping general rules, No Child Left Behind, that everybody is the same and that everybody's going to reach these same standards.
What is Arnie Duncan up to these days, John? Because, you know, I know he's practicing
his dribbling and his free throws. It's what he's good at.
He is.
You know what? That's a good thing. I feel like Arnie Duncan should, instead of practicing basketball while he's, you know, I actually do know what he's doing. So he's supposedly working for some company. Of course, these people.
Pearson?
No, he's been working for them for a long time.
I know.
He was doing double duty with them. He's doing something with City of Chicago where they're supposed to give – it's supposed to, like, help with the violence that's going on in Chicago. Yeah. And if you don't know the violence that's going on in Chicago, as a former Chicagoan born and raised, it's really a problem. Mm. It's really a problem. In Chicago, it's insane. So he's trying to go to the south side of Chicago and help people, like, build them up to get them careers and give people jobs. And so that's what he's trying to do. I don't know if he'd be good at that, but who knows? Maybe. But he's ended up.
He's trying.
Right. He's trying something, and who knows if it's just a phony job or whatever. But the thing is, I wanted to be like, well, you've been messing up the Chicago school district for 8 years with your horrible policies anyway. So you've really, like, created your own job then. Here, I'm going to mess everything up. And then here, now I'm going to try and come in and fix it. But yeah, because that Chicago school district, I saw something today. I don't even know what went on, but I saw somebody tweet something and it made me think that something's going on in Chicago school teachers again, where they're not doing something right. But I didn't want to look because I'm trying to stay positive this year, Scott. And I just didn't want to see it.
When you say this year, John, you mean August?
I mean this last part of the school year until I start 2017.
No, John, I think you're positive. I think you have a critical eye, though. So, and that's necessary and important in education. In any field, you need somebody that really will be truthful and honest about what's going on. And people don't always like that. Even when they say, I want the truth and I want the real critique, sometimes when they get it, they don't really want it.
Right. They don't really want. I actually am, like, the type of person that really would like the critique. You know,
that shirt on you, I'm just going to say, is a good color for you. The hat, though.
Yeah, the hat. Yeah, it doesn't match.
I mean, you're wearing a White Sox hat.
You can tell. Look here. If I have, like, the little wing tips sticking out, so I'm not only am I not shaved, I'm not, like, haircut.
Got a lot going on.
Yeah, I got a few things going on. But I feel like that's what I was going to say about Arnie Duncan too. Is I feel like you should step outside of your comfort zone, and I feel like Arnie Duncan is I'm always telling the truth here with my hand up. He's a great basketball player. We know that he should have beat Kevin Hart for the MVP several years. In fact, Kevin Hart even, like, Sharma gave him one of his MVP trophies because it's all fan voting and nobody knows who Arnie Duncan is. That's part of the problem. They should know who Arnie Duncan is and how he's screwed up education for years. But the thing is, like, you need to do something that's out of your comfort zone then. Like, quit getting good at basketball, Arnie. Try and expand your repertoire a little bit here and do something. And I feel like that's sometimes what happens with teachers too. It's like, here, we'll work on this real, you know, I'll do this. And maybe you should be like, hey, I'm going to work on teaching math a little bit better, or learning my curriculum, or trying to add a little spice up to my math class this year. Or I don't know. I feel like this is a good time to try this stuff too. In August, before people have started, except for Scott and Amy Fideshi, this is a good time to start to think about it right now. And I've had some teachers starting to email me because they're like, okay, we're ready to get started and see what we can do.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll see what we can do to get ahead of it. We don't start until after Labor Day.
And when? What's
Labor Day?
That's when you start for vacation. Oh, wait, that's Memorial Day. I always get those two mixed up. Yeah, really, John?
Yeah. So, Labor Day.
September 6th, you start?
That's the day. And then the funny thing is,
you're going to go until, like, June 24th again, aren't you?
Yes, we are going till about June 24th.
It's going to be nice when I you know,
send lap us
your message early June and saying, gosh, summer is great.
Well, then the funny thing about summer for me is I don't really feel like I've gotten a summer yet. And now the school year's starting. So I'm really wondering how this if I'll become really unhinged during the school year, because I'm like, it's been a slow burn for me. I mean, I've done all this moving. We got off school, and 2 days later, I was driving to ISTE with my family, and then we did ISTE for the week, and then we drove straight back. And then I started the future bus, and we started working 3 days a week on the future bus and trying to get all that stuff together. And by the way, we did some cool stuff, Scott. I mean, we were doing, makeys, we're making LED foam bracelets, we were doing spheros, we did little bits once our great new future bus teacher G Bundy, who will I'll have him on Techlandia sometime. G Bundy, I've been dying to get it. Allison and Kurt from the way back days of Techlandia loved G Bundy, and they loved the sessions. The classic Techlandia. Right, that Matt Gomez doesn't think is happening anymore, but it's still going on. But who's that guy? He doesn't even work in education anymore. So
isn't he like a professional fan?
Yeah, because he just goes snaps pictures at like sporting events.
I don't even know Matt. He's gonna be like, who's this dude?
Matt Gomez is seriously one of the nicest guys. He is a super nice guy, and it was good to hear from him. And it was good to razz him back, and then he was like, Oh, and I was like, dude, I was totally just kidding. All right. I was like, some of us have to be working it. Some of us have to be putting up the fight while others are out, you know, going to Australia or wherever he goes, like he rents campers and does all these great things with his kids. It's awesome for him. Meanwhile, his wife working so hard, like, you know, negotiating huge deals for Mary Kay Cosmetics. Cause that's what she does. She works for Mary Kay.
Really?
Mary Kay in Dallas is like they're a scene. Like they're a big force. It's like they're like the Mark Cuban. Like it's Mark Cuban and Mary Kay.
So you're saying she has a pink
Jerry hat? Jones. Yeah, she does. Of course she does.
Or two.
So, yeah. So but yeah, Matt Gomez, I'm hoping that he did kind of allude to me that he would start to get back into education next year. It's too bad. I would totally give that guy a job up in Portland if he could move, but he can't because his wife has to stay in Dallas. So Matt Gomez,
it sounds like he could commute.
Yeah, he could commute. Yeah, well, on the private jet that they have.
Don't we know somebody else that commuted?
Yeah, that's right. Oh geez,
Portland's so anyway. A big draw. I can understand why somebody would want to commute to Portland, John.
I don't know.
I would commute to Portland.
You'd commute? Just to come up here? We'll get you a good job up here.
I'll commute.
Okay, yeah. We'll do that. Okay. I'll commute down there to Irvine.
You would?
Yeah, I'll do that. That sounds like fun. Just come down there. Maybe catch a concert or two at Irvine Meadows.
Yeah, come down, man.
So speaking of concerts.
We'll get you a really good job in Irvine.
So did you... for my concerts for this month. Okay, so my concerts for this month, and I've just started going to concerts because we have a babysitter now. So I went to see the Dixie Chicks, which has gotten me much credibility with Amy Fadeji and Elizabeth Gould. But the Dixie Chicks were I don't know hardly any of their songs, but they were really good. They did a really good cover of Nothing Compares to You for Prince. So, and they played Let's Go Crazy in its entirety before they came out. They like dimmed the lights, played all of Let's Go Crazy, and then they came out and did like their first little song, which is like Traveling Soldier, or I don't know, one of their famous songs. I don't know.
John, but, all I know is that I'm not ready to back down.
It's true. You're not ready to make nice?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, they did that song too. I'm going to go see, I have a few concerts. I'm going to see my favorite band now since the Beastie Boys are no longer, and it's 311. I'm still sticking with the 311. They're my age. I've met them before. They're cool. I've actually gambled with 311, most of 311, Scott Bailey. That's a true story. And then I'm going to go and see Band of Horses.
Okay.
So you like Band of Horses?
I do.
Okay. And then I'm going to go, I'm going to sing along with him. I'm going to go, hopefully they'll do this. I'm going to take a trip to Laredo. Gonna take a dip in the lake. Oh, I'm at a crossroads with my. And the funny thing was, they wrote the song Laredo, and then you find out it's really about Minnesota. That's like the truth. They're like, Laredo just sounded better. I'm like, I've been to Laredo. There's no lake there. What lake are you jumping in Laredo? But so then, yeah, and then I'm gonna go see Blink 182, and I'm gonna see what's the Fight the Power group that you want to see? Prophets of Rage.
Prophets of Rage. Are you really going to see Prophets of Rage?
Yes. Why would I not go see Prophets of Rage? No, Public Enemy, Cypress Hill, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Those are like three of my favorite childhood bands.
Right?
Yeah. So anyway, now that we've talked to me, that's my list. There's my list of four. I should just type that up real quick. Here's my blog post. Four bands that you must see before you die.
I mean, I can't believe that you're not going to see the band that really represents the whole grunge era, and that they're coming in concert again, John.
Up here?
Well, I don't know exactly where they're coming in concert yet, but they're coming in concert.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
Is it the Wiggles?
No.
Oh, who is it?
Temple.
Oh, Temple. I don't know. I mean, what are they going to play? That one album?
Yes, I'll listen to all they have to do is play one song. Right.
I saw that. Well, so I mean, to get tickets for Seattle, I did look to get tickets in Seattle on the pre-sale was insane.
I'm sure.
So, yeah, right. And so Seattle concerts really have a tendency to sell out quick. And then if you try and buy them on the scalper market, they're huge. It's not like Amy Fadeji where she just gets like free Adele tickets thrown at her because she's principal of the year. Like if I wanted to go see Adele up in Seattle and she didn't even come to Portland, she just went to Seattle, it would have been like $150.
Yeah, I just can't imagine people in, you know, Petaluma wanting to see Adele.
But yet there she is, Amy Fadeji. So, yeah, so.
Hello.
It's me. Hello. That's a good song, too.
That's all hello, I know from the song.
Hello, it's me. I thought about you for a long, long time. That's Todd Rundgren, though. We haven't talked about anything educational. We're going to finish up with anything educational? No?
Yeah, John, how are you going to start off this year? I mean, how are you going to make this next year legit?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this because I've been like, actually...
What risks are you taking this next year? I mean, what are you doing?
Oh, what risks am I taking? I don't, you know what? I think my whole life is a risk. I'm going to see, no, so I think one of the first things we're going to do is we're really going to, I think that I've bought a lot of books. Okay, here, besides this, I've also bought this, which I have right here. You can't say we're not obsessed if we don't have the Pikachu, like in this box. But what I did go to Powell's today.
Yeah.
So I think that my goal this year is to really get kids. All right, so it's not just, okay, so I hate to say this because I'm nothing against Hour of Code, but Hour of Code is Hour of Code. It's not really much building on things. And so I've bought a lot of books this year, and I saw that Sam Patterson's up at the MIT Scratch Institute right now. I really want to take it, get a systematic kind of elementary implementation going where we can start the foundation with Scratch, but then I also have a Python book, and we have the Raspberry Pis ready to go that I've got some old monitors for. And we have our first place where we're setting up a Raspberry Pi lab. So we'll have kids coding with Python, like actual just like text coding instead of just the block coding, you know? Nice. And so I really feel like we're going to get kids Scratch accounts, and we're going to have them not only like remix stuff, but build their own games. I have a bunch of books like that. I feel like the only way to do that for me is just to sit down and go through the book like I'm the student first and really understand it. And I think I've got a good understanding of Scratch, but I think I want to just, that's what I want to enhance this year. And I want to learn the Python.
That's my thing. We have started off this year using Google CS.
Okay.
And it's their computer science free program. And it's great. They send you out these little passports for the coursework. So the kids have this passport. They work through it on their own. You kind of like wander around and help them. You don't have to be a coding expert. It uses Scratch. They create Scratch accounts and they have little projects. And it's been a really good start to that. So Google CS has been something that I didn't know about. Somebody turned it on to me and we decided to use that to, try to teach a little more coding and that as far as our program without having anything really to teach from and having that as a structure. It comes with little videos. It's great. And the kids get to watch the videos on their own. You can watch them as a whole class. It's been good. It's been really good.
That's cool. I've seen it before. I opened it in a tab. I've seen it before. And I know that Allison told me about it last year. And she said that she really kind of liked it. And yeah, that would be the cool other thing. It would be like to start, like to do like the little club or whatever that you could do and right. get some of that stuff going. We're I know that my other little out of the box thing is we're going to try and enter a team into Lego robotics, like an older uh-huh. team of middle school. And middle school, not my thing, my more elementary. So I am kind of stepping out a little bit. My other thing that I had the idea for that I never got to act on as far as like stupid TOSA, I'll call it stupid TOSA just because, you know, TOSAs, they're just out at Starbucks all the time, but I am a stupid TOSA. So I think about PD a little, I think about PD a lot actually. And I think my other one is I want to take the Scratch that's what kind of why I want to start with the Scratch. I want to do some stuff maybe on Saturdays or whatever, where teachers can come in with their kids and the kids can learn with them. So yeah. like looking for like the, like so that they don't have the problem of, oh yeah, I can't come in because whatever, hopefully their kids would learn something too. And that's kind of my thing. I want to do kind of like a, like I do it with teachers and their kids and then maybe carry that over to like a night where the parents can come in with their students then, you know, and that's my other uh-huh. real big thing. I would really like to try that out. And I wanted to try it over the summer. I was doing too much future bus stuff.
That's cool, so, man. Yeah. I like that. I like that concept of like it's almost like an outreach and saying, "Hey, bring your own personal kids, right?
Yeah,
and let's help you help them." And I think I can imagine a lot of teachers wanting to come out to something like that, John.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Help me help you. Help me. What is that from?
Help me help you. I don't know, but I think it's a movie of some sort.
It is a movie of some sort.
So I will not know. You will know though.
Help me help you. So speaking of movies, I think I've gone to the drive-in a couple times.
Yeah.
I saw
a movie for you, John, actually.
Okay. Lay it on me. Does it star Jonah Hill?
It does not.
Okay.
But
or Tatum Channing.
It's in the movie style that I typically watch, which is horrible. It's cartoon. A documentary. Okay. Yeah, cartoon. Documentary. Overfed, undernourished.
Okay. I haven't heard of it.
So Tim Bedley shared it with me. Uh-oh. I didn't know about it till Tim Bedley told me. He pretty right. much gives me all the good ideas.
Okay.
But it's follows this boy down in Australia and he's struggling with weight and it talks a lot about healthy eating and that's something I really need.
Right. Yeah, right. I know.
I don't eat that bad. I just eat at bad times.
Yeah. We were sitting there watching the top five movie last night. I kind of looked around and I was, it's like 11 o'clock. We're actually going to try and watch a movie together, which is a rare occurrence in the Samuelson household for the kids to actually leave us alone. It's rare right now. I'm still waiting for one of them to come down at midnight.
You got a house now.
But there was, there's just some Little Caesars crazy bread just sitting there. So I pounded three free crazy breadsticks. Instead of popcorn, I'm like, this is really good. Just load up on the bread and the carbs at 11 o'clock at night. That was so good. Right. After I'd just been walking all that stuff too. And I'm like, oh, I'm so stupid. But yeah. So that, all right. We'll have to watch that one then.
That's overfed, good. Undernourished.
Overfed, undernourished. Okay.
I think Tim Bedley even said he's going to actually show it to his students.
That makes sense.
The first week of school and have a discussion and talk about, you know, opinion writing and kind of tie it into all that stuff. But he, you know him, he's still on the health kick. He's off the pine needles and he's,
did you just say pine noodles?
Pine needles, and okay. Now he's on to rose petals.
That's nice. That kind of reminds me of Petaluma, rose petals.
He's doing rose petal. You know how they have like at P.F. Chang's, those lettuce wraps?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, he does it with rose petals now.
Oh, I thought he was just with kale.
No.
Kale wrap.
He's off the kale because of all the harmful chemicals that kale soaks in from the soil.
That's too bad. I just got on the kale. Now I have to get
you did.
To stop. No.
Hey.
No. Hey there.
Rethink that.
Well, I don't know, but I love going to the drive-in here, even though every time I feel like my kids are like, we want to lay on the roof and we want to do that. I'm like, kids, quit. Don't do that. Jerks. What are you doing?
John, can I ask you about a specific Twitter edufamous person?
Sure.
And get you in big trouble.
Sure.
Maybe I'll ask you generically. So
okay.
You were at ISTE and you went to what I think you would say is a really fantastic training on Minecraft.
Yes.
And you bumped into an edufamous person. Or are they edgy semi-famous?
I don't know. Well, there's a lot of people I bumped into. I don't know where you're going with this, but yeah, I bumped into them.
And they were like they were distracting. There was stuff going on.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about now. Yes. 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 They wanted special rules for them. Okay. Right. Okay. So does that person.
That's where I'm going with that.
Well, so right. And so then that's my thing. Does that person teach? No,
I don't know.
No, they don't. There's no way. And right. So I'm sometimes I wonder where these people. I don't know. And it's like I started to look at that person's feed a little bit more, and just uh-huh. like how condescending. I don't know how they build up unless they can. You can always purchase followers. I mean, that's always a thing, right?
Wow.
I mean, you can purchase followers. I know that my account.
And you can also check and see who's purchased followers.
Right. You know what used to. You know what made me mad when you told me that you could check and see who's purchased followers, because you were the person that told me you could check and see. Yeah. My account always kind of came back kind of sketch too, because I'm like, well, no. But then right. But then we found out why. I mean, I found out why, because the whole iPad Sammy thing. So the iPad right. part. So you have all these kind of fake accounts follow you then just because like, oh, they're iPad giveaways or iPad this. So once right. I quit the iPad thing, that's how I lost all the 5,000. I lost the, those 15 or 20%. But yeah, I would come back kind of sketch myself, not as sketchy as some people. Holy cow. When we would check that out, but
some people were really sketchy.
Yeah. God. Some people were just buying followers and that's all they were doing. But,
and getting keynotes from doing it.
Right. And getting right. How do people not check that stuff out? And I don't know.
Jobs.
I would rather just have people that are quality. And Jake Duncan and I have talked about this a little bit lately. Like he's talking about how much it makes him upset. And I'm like, just why don't you just unfollow some people and then refollow? Like I installed that dumb Crowdfire app on my phone real quick, just because I kind of wanted to weed out people that haven't tweeted for like 6 months. So I'm like, okay, yeah. even if you haven't tweeted for a month, in my opinion, okay, if you're a classroom and you're on right. summer break, okay, then I can see it. But like, if you haven't tweeted, like I barely tweet at all anymore, but I can darn sure tell you that I tweet way more than once a month. Right. Yeah. And in fact, it's probably, it's way more than that. So you got to be kind of active, but you're right. I don't see how these people, like I've kind of followed that person a little bit since then. And then I'm just like, oh, that's just not, you're not, what are you doing for education besides like condescending tweets to teachers? Like, oh, I know better than you do. Because why? Because you're an educational consultant. You know better. And I'd like to stack up your years of teaching with mine. How many years of classroom experience do you have? There's no way, first of all, because that person's younger than I am, right? Okay. Because we're old, grouchy old teachers. But yeah, I was not impressed at all. I you know, if the person had come up to me and said, "Hey, how are you doing?" or whatever, right. You know, no, they just kind of sat there and acted like they were, you know, they were Queen of Sheba. And I'm kind of like,
there's people with 100,000 plus Twitter followers,
right?
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
And mainly because I don't even have 2,000 Twitter followers.
Right, and you're a quality teacher that works hard and does things.
Well, and I don't really care.
But you don't you don't brag about the things you do. But if you're one of those people, you would easily brag about the things you do and then try and weasel your way and parlay that into some fancy schmancer job, you know, that you could travel around and go to all these places. I don't know. I would get tired of going and talking about Google Drive and all these different places. Like if that's your thing, then that's cool. But that's just not my thing. That's not why I got into teaching. I don't want to go and talk about Google Drive. And to me, as much as Android does those commercials about like we're all different or whatever, that's not different. I mean, here we want everybody to be Google level one certified. Well, you're basically doing a common core for teachers now. Right. I mean, I want everyone in my district to be level one Google certified. And they were saying that in our district. And I'm like, no, why don't we just teach them how to use Google products the correct way? Why do they have to be level one certified according to some random made up title? Because we want everybody to be the same. I don't know. I like when people are different, and have different skill sets.
So now, John, let's go back to the old list thing really fast.
Okay.
So you know that the person who created that list for California,
okay,
also created that list for like other states as well, right?
No, I did not know that. So we just saw California.
So if you go to, you know, I Teach Lip Scum.
Is it on Twitter?
On the Twitters.
Okay, so I'm gonna go to.
You can see that, you know, this is like a post thing, like 100 Tennessee educators to follow, 100 Texas educators to follow.
Oh gosh.
100 Ohio educators to follow. 100, you know.
50 and, states, you know, in 50 days.
It was really. I'm gonna say it was nice to get on that list, but it doesn't mean anything.
Okay, I'm looking at him right now. So this is the guy that actually did it. Is this Keith O'Neill?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he did this one. So that's where I got the challenge thing from. So it's that time of year again when parking lots will be, all right, so
yeah, he's like trying look at the Texas one, you know, there are people, you know, and like Tech Chef for You and you know, Refrons and
I can see Mr. people
Hooker
just, so
Eric Schoeniger. I didn't know he was a Texas guy.
Yeah, he moved to Texas.
Gotcha.
Dell
EDU, which you were talking about earlier, like shake up learning and
And I can see that Zach Snow. So is this I can see number one, this doofus doesn't follow me. So that'll show you right there that he doesn't
have. Well, they haven't done Oregon yet, I don't think.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. He won't put me on there. He doesn't follow me. How would he know? So,
he just followed me like just a few days ago.
Did he really? And that's how he knew to put you on that list, huh? Well, so then to me, is it all just a scam? Because it's just like, here's 100. And so then somebody can go, hey, thank you for putting me on your list. Like I can see my friend Zach Snow, who's a very good educator from Texas, go, thank you so much for the mention. Lots of my edu superheroes on the Texas list, right? So then it just becomes,
yes, almost 10,000 followers.
Right. So it just becomes this big kind of, well, if he put you on a list, why would you not follow her?
The list
of Texas people already makes me barf as I look at it real quick. It's already gross.
That's what I pointed it out to you.
Yeah. And let me look and see. Like I can look over the Texas list quickly and tell you if it's okay. So here's one. Let me just look real quick. Okay.
John is now looking at the Texas list.
I'm just looking at the list. Right. So he's got some good people there, but right.
Of course.
It's like taking a, you know, a rifle shot, like with buckshot, you're going to hit some of them, but yeah, a lot of them like Center Online Ed. What even is that? You know, oh, at least you put my friend Mad Dog Misty on there. I like old Mad Dog Misty. But
it's like a mixture of good people, and I'm sure they're all good people on those lists, but it's right. Just like it's the list itself that's just odd to have right. A list itself, right? I mean what makes me worth following? I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't sell myself, John.
Well, right
on Twitter. So what makes these people worth following? Because all it does is have their like Twitter profile
right
next to their name on this list. So
so what is it? So if you even just go on this theory that he's got almost 10,000 followers. So if this guy just sits there and goes, okay, I'm going to grind this list out real quick. I'm going to do 100 educators from each state. So then he has 5,000 people that he's put on there, right? So First of all, any person in their right mind is not going to follow 5,000 people on Twitter, right? Would you follow 5,000 people on Twitter? There'd be a lot of noise, right? I mean, I'm kind of close-ish, but I wouldn't follow all these people.
I'm lame with that. I just it's not that I don't want to follow people or follow them back or be mean or whatever. I just want to use it to actually use it for what I think should be the purpose, and that's to learn something from other people that I have. So if I have too many people on there, it's just like a fire hose.
Right. Yeah. And then, right. And these people have all these different areas of whatever they do. Right. And so you just sit there. And so, yeah. So, I mean, I can look at this and right. So homeboy doesn't follow me. So first of all, Keith, you're sad. Second of all, first of all, you're sad. I don't even know about this. But
you hate the lists and I'm offended that he doesn't follow me.
But, right. So then it's like, okay, so then, let's just say that half the people that he puts on a list follow him, right? So like, oh, thanks. So if you go, oh, good. There's that Keith guy that put me, right? And so that's 25,000 people, and then they go, and then the 2,500, and then all those people like share it on their Facebook and their Twitter and say, hey, look at this, I got this, and then maybe a couple of their friends are like, hey, they put Scott Bedley on there. You know what? I like this guy. I'm just going to follow him and see what he has to say. That's a good way just to sit there. It's kind of a scammy way to build up your following, and then you don't really
thankful I'm on the list, John. I can get more followers.
I mean, right? And who knows, have you gotten a lot of followers since then, since it was published today?
Is that one? It was 8.
Have you gotten 8? That's big for you.
8 or 9.
That's a lot for you.
That's like a banner day for me.
Right. So it did something for you there. So people actually did. But right. How many people just look through that list and see if their name is on the list? And then they're like, whatever. You know, you're not going to hit everybody. And then you're going to be mad.
Most of the people, I probably should have got more. They just came and they're like, look at the picture. And I'm like, oh, that's that guy from Q.
Yeah, that's a guy from that horrible Q session. Let's not go there.
Unfollow. Block.
Right. Well, I'm gonna look through his. I'll look through the California report. One and see. I'm looking for new people to follow on Twitter. That's for sure, and people that will like interact back and forth with me a little bit. But I've been going more to like
S. Fay Wolf, John Sean Fay Wolf. Do you know him?
No.
He might even be up in your area. He's a Minecraft kid.
Okay.
He's class of 2019. He's also authored some stuff on Minecraft, and he's interested in talking with classes and people, and you could Skype him in to some classrooms, talk Minecraft or, you know, so his Twitter handle is S F A Y Wolf with an E at the end.
That's
it. You got him. Connect with that kid.
Look at that. Has he written a book, The Minecraft Elementia Chronicles?
Yeah, he has.
Okay. From Rhode Island, huh?
Yeah. He's going to be at MineCon, so connect with him before you come to MineCon.
Oh, you know who else is going to be at MineCon?
Who?
Me and Gwen right behind me.
No, I knew that. Diane Main.
Diane Main. I don't know if I don't think Diane Main is actually going to be there. Look, there it is. There's Gwen. Of course, see, I told you one of my kids would be up at 12:30. Now she's coming in to laugh at the podcast, right? She likes it because we named our Wi-Fi network is now named Techlandia. So she likes that. If you're ever in Portland, if you're ever in Beaverton, come on over and grab my Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi.
I'll give you the password if you say you're a fan of Techlandia.
The Scott, password is Scooby-Doo.
We should wrap this up. You think?
Probably.
Yeah, since people have been saying.
Should probably shelf this show and just keep it on the shelf.
That's all right. You know what? There's probably a good little nugget in there somewhere.
I think there is.
I know. I think we're mellow because it's where we know that you're mellow because you started the school year. I'm mellow because I know I didn't get any summer.
I'm kind of mellow because it's 12:30 in the a.m.
12:30 a.m. My daughter's out.
It's my, yeah.
So anyway, that's good. Well, I don't know about this. I know about Sean Fay Wolf, and I see. That's what I was going to say. I think I'm just.
Do you follow Todd Beard, Teacher Beard?
Teacher Beard. Let me see.
Teacher Beard. Great guy. Really positive. Doing some cool stuff. Teacher Beard.
Yeah, I do follow him. And he follows me.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, did we just turn this into old tech? I mean, when you talk about when you talk about lists, though, I mean, that's how
we give you one more of my three people to follow, John.
When we started
a guy named Kurt.
Kurt Rees. He's WISC principal.
He is a principal from Spain.
Yeah. He's principal. We're going to name him Principal Paella now. That's just going to be his new name. I mean, that's how we started Techlandia. We did the threes, the Twitter followers, apps, and then just cool things. I mean, so we started Techlandia with lists. I think lists are useful, but I think when you do try and do 100 people, and I mean, what's the point? So if you got 8 followers and that thing has been shared, that thing's almost run across my feed 8 times today in like Facebook and other things and people. So how many people are really looking at this thing? Like if you're going to make, you know what, I'll give them credit for creating something, but let's create things that are useful for people.
Have value.
You know, and then have value and not just like, are kind of like, oh, okay.
Wait, John, you're saying if people follow me, that doesn't add value to them? Thanks a lot, man.
No, I'm just saying like if whatever the guy's name was, if he makes a list, and I'm sure it seems like it's value to him, but there's also the thing for him, I think, where he's like, yeah, and then a whole bunch of people will follow me back. Like he could have easily have just done like the top 10 people in each state, but he chose 100 for some insane reason. And I think when you get, it's like overkill. It's like when your school year starts out and they're like, hey, we're going to do 4 new things this year. We're going to switch math programs and we're going to switch this to this new reading assessment. And they do all these things. And you're like, how are we humanly possible going to do this? Can you pick one thing, administrator? And can we just do it well and pick one little thing that you want to switch instead of 4 different things now that you want to switch? So like 100 Twitter followers is just dumb. And watch me bash him even more when he does Oregon and then he doesn't put me on there.
He will. Just look for him to follow.
Will he follow me like 2 days earlier? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. There's people. I mean, in states where I've been, there's really good people. In Texas, there's.
You at least deserve number 99, Sean.
I like how he says these are in no particular order. And I'm like, oh my god! If you rank them 1 to 100, then you're in trouble. But yeah, I don't know. If you make lists like when I make lists on Listly, I try and make them of value for people. I don't try and get them to go viral. You know, and I think there's always that little thing where people and nowadays they want the compliments. And so they push it and, you know, they don't know. Right. So Zach Snow, who's a really good educator from Texas, is on the list. And he's like, hey, okay. And so it's validation for him. So then he tweets him back. And I think it creates kind of a phony little network when you're talking about, kind of to circle back, when you talk about like feedback and things like that. I think you want honest feedback. And for this guy just that lives in Tennessee to pull random names just because he's doing like searches for educators on Twitter or whatever, however he aggregates his list. I don't know. It just seems kind of disingenuous to me and kind of phony. Yeah. You know, and I'm not that he didn't get you right, Scott, but I'm just saying, like, even a blind squirrel can get an acorn. He got Briggs. He got a whole bunch of people. But in our little short time, we could name 15 people who are very deserving who he didn't put on the list. And it's like, and there are people really following the list? I don't know, and 8 followers?
Isn't that why ESPN does the list to get the debate and the arguments?
Right.
Hey, John, I want to bring in one last thing before we cut the show.
Okay.
Did you know that there's an actual patent gender gap right now, and that less than 20% of the U.S. patents have at least one woman inventor on them?
No.
That's a massive gap. So I love what you guys are doing with, you know, with the bus and getting into classrooms and reaching out and trying to bring a balance to all that. It's really awesome. So I say that because I think, you know, people like you are going to make a difference in providing opportunities for a broader group of people to accomplish things like getting their own patent on something.
Yeah, though, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, Bundy's a great guy. So I think we got the right person headed up. I don't know too many public schools that are having a bus right now. I know some private ones, but the public school, it's kind of a different little thing for it. So we'll see what's going on with it. We'll see how it goes. But thanks for saying that. It's I'm telling you that at the last day, I was just like, oh, I just wanted to be done right now. And then I'll tell you what, trying to teach pre-K kids makey makeys. Oh my gosh. Just shoot me now. I am just so not a kindergarten and first grade teacher. I can go in for about 45 tough, minutes tops, and I'm out of
job in education.
That is a tough job, and I appreciate all you first grade and kindergarten teachers. You guys have you know what? When my first gig out of school was, I worked at a Head Start, and I taught the 4-year-olds. How did I do that?
Wow.
I know, it's crazy, right?
You were much younger than John.
I was desperate for a job is what I was, I remember, though, that was also the year that Michael Jordan retired for the first time. And I remember
for the White Sox.
Yeah, that was the baseball one. You know, the 93.
You still have that card, don't you?
Yeah, sure. I got a whole binder of Michael Jordan cards.
Michael Jordan upper deck White Sox cards.
Yeah. I was actually at that game when he took batting practice. You were. Yeah. It was a fluke accident, but yeah, it was insanity there. But nobody wanted to see the White Sox back then and or now. And I remember I openly cried in front of the 4-year-olds, and they all felt sorry for me. I'm like, no, he's retired. He's in his prime. I finally get a champion and now this. But then did I tell you that when he came back for that time, I was living in Vegas then. And he came back, and then they used to take the phone calls. Like, it wasn't Ernie and Kenny and all those guys and Charles. So they took a phone call, and they're like, who do you think should be the MVP? And he had just dropped 55 on the Knicks in that game. And I was like, the MVP? I'm like, the greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan. And I got on TNT, and they took their phone calls. And my friends were all just like, oh my God, John got on TNT. And then they like cut me off real quick. They're like, oh, well, we don't, you know, you have to play the whole year or something. But yeah, they put me on TNT. It was pretty funny.
Wow.
So when Michael Jordan came back, I was insane. And I was in Las Vegas. So, and I was young. So I have to say, might have been a little intoxicated when I was on the TNT show. But
I'm sure you weren't, John.
Oh, I'm sure I wasn't. I'm a responsible drinker. See, I'm drinking my high C orange right now.
High C. So,
McDonald's high C orange is great. I love it. It doesn't keep me awake. It has no caffeine.
It's like 3,600 calories for that cup right there.
Body by sugar. Anyway. All right. Well, so what are we going to do? How are we going to do any more shows? We're gonna.
I don't know, John. Is this the last of all the grumpy old teachers? Is that what you're saying?
This is definitely not the last of the grumpy old teachers. I'm just saying we gotta get on the reg, dude. We gotta do at least one a month.
I agree.
Okay. Well, you know what? School year's going now. School year. We have to vent, and we'll get a lot grumpier because the school year will take hold of us. We'll be like, darn administrators, like Fideshi, don't know what they're doing.
I do have some things that I really want to talk about education wise with you in the next few shows. This is a good palate cleanser.
Okay, that's good. All right, so we'll cleanse the palate. How about we start with the topic? Speaking of Amy Fideshi, people that make lame beginning of the year videos. Because I was like, oh my gosh, the singing of that.
I'm just glad Amy would never listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad that Amy never listens to Grumpy Old Teachers. And bless her heart, but man, the singing in that is horrible. You talk about how good the Dixie Chicks and Adele are. It was like the Dixie Chicks and Adele like fell off a cliff. Oh, and the sound they made as they hit the ground. That's how their singing was. And you can hear Amy's sound. How is Amy such a bad singer? She's horrible. And she's so proud of that video, too. Oh, Amy.
It's got like 10,000 views. More than any video I've ever posted.
It does not have 10,000 views.
Oh. It might.
You know what? I'm gonna start sharing it. Maybe I'll share it to the list guy, and he can put it on there.
Top 100 videos created. Top 100 school teachers.
Top 100 teacher created videos for the beginning of the year from each.
I think
it's not a very global perspective of that guy. It's not a very global perspective either. How about he does 100 people for the countries and then does that? That's his next. Uh-oh, I just gave him an idea. Here it goes. Top 100 educators in New South Wales. Top 100 educators.
He could pass the information on to the guy.
I'll keep that guy busy for decades making lists of Twitter, like just stuff. Anyway, well, that's a good way to end.
Top 100, like he should have separated out like classroom teachers, administrators,
people who aren't
in education but say they're in education, and all they do is train educators.
Yeah, but we should come up with a name like a Pokemon character. Here, we could type back with the Pokemon character. What did we call PR? All right, so what? First of all, we'll rip on me. So TOSAs, like what do we call TOSAs? Like what Pokemon character would they be? POSAs.
There is POSAs now. John.
Okay. Well, so that no, the, so they're
principals on special assignment.
Oh, principals on special assignment. They're always on a special assignment, if you know what I mean. Doing the undercover work for the man. POSAs.
I have no idea what that means, but it's funny.
I don't either. I always just think they're working for Arnie Duncan. POSAs. So that they're kind of posers, but they're posers.
Okay.
And it's like a little Charmeleon.
What do you evolve into?
Hopefully you evolve into someone that helps people, other teachers. But if you don't, you just evolve into this blob of Starbucks.
Latalia?
Yeah,
Latalia.
Latalia sounds too dirty.
Okay, then like Cafe Americano.
But yeah, what do we? What character would a person be that just goes around and speaks at conferences all the time, and doesn't even teach?
They would be like some kind of like mouth, just like a giant mouth. No brain.
just comparing their travel cards or whatever. Here, like, I'm gonna find the one.
Yeah,
they're kind of like a Clefairy.
Yeah, the Clefairy. Yeah.
Just kind of go to or a drowsy because they travel so much. And then right, if half your social media posts are like, here I'm complaining about my flight that didn't connect or whatever. Oh my god. Oh, I'm so happy to connect with these people for 2 hours and then I'm never gonna see them again. I'm so meaningful to education. All right. And with that, we close, as I've offended almost everybody, offended many of my friends. And if you're my friend, I'm not talking about you.
No, just never. Like,
no. So never. Yeah. So anyway, we got.
They didn't make it to this point in the show.
No, they didn't. So Sean Williams, I love you. I'm not talking about you, but you travel. You travel an awful lot. Poor Sean Williams. I'm surprised if Sean Williams even checks in. The thing about Sean Williams is on Swarm, he always likes people's stuff. Well, probably because he's bored sitting at these conferences or in the airport at downtime. But if he checks in Portland, I'm just like, oh my God, Sean, you checked in Portland? Really? Are you here? Oh, it's got to be so tiring, but he seems to like it. So more power to Sean Williams.
More power to him.
He should be number one on the Oregon educator list. But I don't know. But he doesn't.
Behind Allison Anderson.
Behind Allison Anderson. But and Tim Lauer. But the thing is, Tim Lauer now, is he an educator in Oregon or is he an educator in Washington? Because he lives in Oregon.
I think he's a Washington educator.
I do too.
Even though he only moved across the river.
I know. We in a van down by the river. We have just lost one of our best Twitter followers for that guy. So now we'll have to see. Anyway.
Oregon is sad.
All Oregon. Hey. Don't diss on Oregon. Anyway, thanks for listening, people. Watch for my new list that are coming out. My new list is 100 podcasts not to listen to, and this will be number one. I'll do 100 episodes of Techlandia not.
You know why this would be really low on the good podcast list, John?
Why?
Not enough sound effects.
Oh, I know. I know. Sorry.
More sound effects,
John. Okay, well, my daughter will have to quit stealing my iPad then, and then I have to do it with a big iPad. But we will say this.
iPad Pro yet?
Yeah, my iPad Pro. She's what she steals. Oh, I turned down the volume. Here we go.
Can't stop the feeling.
Speaking of Sean Williams, he did this at IPDX one time. He crowdsourced a Pharrell Because I'm Happy video. It was very cool.
Cool.
Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the flip side. You have been listening to Techlandia, a member of the Education Podcast Network. For more great content, please visit techlandiaradio.com and edupodcastnetwork.com.